what's the best way to deal with a boss who isn't really good at being a boss? We'll talk about that and other workplace issues today. Stay with us as we strive to be walking worthy. Well, hello, I'm Mary Lohman, and I am with my good friend Lisa Bishop, and we are kicking off the first of our podcasts, which we're calling Walking Worthy in the Workplace and in Life. I'm excited about this, Lisa.
You know, I'm really excited too. Some of you will be sending in questions for us throughout the months that we'll be responding to on this podcast as well. So I'm just here to have fun and learn how we can walk worthy.
Yeah. So it's just going to be you and me having our over tea conversation, right?
Yes.
And others can listen in.
That's right.
And what we hope is that through these conversations, answering some of your questions, addressing issues that you're facing, we can just help equip you in the workplace and in life. As Paul writes to the Philippians, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's my prayer for myself. I know it is for you,
too. Me, too. And you know what? I miss the mark a lot.
Me, too.
I miss the mark of walking worthy. And thankfully, we have God's word to remind us how to do that. And so just a reminder, too, if you're not in God's word, it is so good. So we're so glad that you're listening to this podcast. But before you even listen to us, make sure you're in the word of God, because God's word is really what's going to transform and teach us how to live and walk worthy.
So, so true. There's no substitute.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have some questions today that refer to relationships, particularly on the job. Some of these are tough. I don't know if we'll get through all of them, but here's the first one let's talk about. What do you do when your boss is incompetent, just can't do their job right?
Hmm.
Ever had that happen?
Yeah, I've definitely had situations where the person that was in authority or leadership over me wasn't quite doing the job that I thought that they were paid to do. Mm. And if I'm honest, I found myself frustrated at times within that. But I think that the first thing that comes to mind for me, even when I hear the word, what do I do when someone's incompetent, there's almost like a judgment in that statement.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I've had to be like, okay, this person may not be doing the job that I think that they should do, but rather than me being angry or even perhaps criticizing, how might I help that person? Mm. I mean, maybe it's something that they just need a little bit of help with, or maybe they don't even realize that incompetency or lack of skill is showing up. Like sometimes we have blind spots too.
Oh, totally. I remember an older man in my first job saying to me, it's your job to get along with your boss, not your boss's job to get along with you.
Mm, okay.
That's kind of, and I just think that's, there's some truth there for sure. If you're just smart, that makes sense. But also the Bible teaches us to have respect for those in authority, even though we may not totally agree with them. So it has to become a matter of prayer, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it becomes a matter of prayer. And the other thing that comes to mind to me, too, is that we make sure we're not talking about other people's incompetence to other people. Mm. Like I've been in situations where it's like, oh, my gosh, can you believe so-and-so? They're just not doing the job that they should be doing. And then we got to really be mindful. That's a slippery slope.
It is.
Like it's one thing to notice when we think other people could be doing a better job at what they're doing. But, man, we can fall into sin really easily if we're now talking about them with other people.
So true. And when you are working for someone who everybody thinks is not doing a good job, what do? You sit around and talk about them. That is not smart.
Yeah.
And there's a verse in Ecclesiastes, which I will paraphrase, that says, be careful what you say in your bedroom, because a little bird will go back and repeat it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, in other words, you sit around talking about your boss in a negative way, it will get back to him or her.
Yeah.
And you'll regret it.
And maybe, too, maybe that person, you know, I actually had a conversation with a person that I report to a while ago. And what I realized by having that conversation is that they literally didn't know how to do something. And here I am assuming that they should, but I was heaping judgment on them as opposed to being like, hey, I've noticed this, and I'm wondering, is there something I can help with, or is a way is there a way I can come alongside you? And I have to say, the countenance on their face really changed, and they said that they'd actually been feeling judged by me, and it was really nice to hear me ask them if there was a way that I could help them. And so, again, I think the key, one of the keys here, is being mindful for how are we approaching, or who are we being in the midst of that situation.
And you know, bosses, managers are people.
Yeah.
They have insecurities and they have faults just like the rest of them. So maybe you could say, what can I do to help? You know, can I take something off your plate to make things a little easier? Just try to be that voice of encouragement.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Well, here's another one. What is the best way to deal with a totally negative coworker? You ever worked with somebody like that? I mean, you see them coming and you know, ugh, whatever they say, it's going to be bad news.
Yeah, you know what I have, and I think the first thing for me is to check myself and make sure that I'm not that person sometimes as well. You know, oftentimes people are just dealing with a lot of stuff, and I think one of the things that we can consider is, like, how well do we know them? I think we take a look at every opportunity in the workplace to come alongside people and maybe go to lunch and be friends with people, understand what's going on with their life. Because usually negative people, I think they don't, people don't really want to be negative. I don't think that they do. Because when we're negative, that doesn't make us feel too good either. So I just wonder, like, what might it be to grab lunch with that person and just get to know a little bit about their lives and maybe see where they're coming from. Oftentimes when we know people's stories, we listen with a different filter.
Oh, we definitely do. I think that's a great, great idea. Behind all that negativity is a hurting heart. You said something once about, look at everybody and how did you put it?
Yeah, someone once told me, treat everyone as if their heart were breaking, because it probably is.
Yeah, and I think with a negative person, they probably don't realize it. If you told them you're negative all the time, they would probably deny it. But it shows that something's going on inside.
Yeah, and I think too, and this is the motivation of our heart and the intention of our conversation is really important. But man, if I see someone who is showing up negatively, oftentimes people are in a pattern that they really don't even realize it. So it could be a blind spot. So what I would advise not to do is to be like, how come you're so negative? And to, you know, just be mindful of how we approach. But you know, maybe if Sally is someone on the job that seems to be negative, I might say, hey, it sounds like you might be having a hard time. Is everything okay? Like, what? And they, well, why do you say that? Well, you seemed, I don't know, you seemed a little off in the meeting or the conversation. I'm just concerned about you, and I just want to know how you're doing.
I remember years ago hearing someone talking, I don't even remember who, talking about your attitude, whether you were negative or positive. And if they had asked me, I said, oh, I'm a very positive person. But I started to pay attention to how often I said negative stuff. And so that's what made me more aware and therefore make some changes through prayer, et cetera. But I think a lot of times we just don't realize it, especially today when so much bad things have happened in our world lately.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think negativity can show up in a lot of ways. Like I don't know that people have said that I'm negative, but I can come across critical. And for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I wasn't really even aware that I was coming across that way. And so for me, again, when approached with kindness, it was really helpful for someone to point that out. And then I could be aware and I could actually do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I was in a complaining mode, I had a job that traveled a lot and I just complained all the time. And the Holy Spirit really kind of got hold of me. And I started to say this, okay, when you're upset, what difference will this make in 24 hours? And I just started to use that as before you start verbalizing all the negatives. Is it going to matter in 24? I found that, you know, most of it didn't matter this time tomorrow.
I know.
It's a good way to check up on yourself.
I totally agree.
Okay. What should I do when my coworker does not do her job or his job and it ends up becoming my problem? In other words, you're not the boss, but you work together and you can't do your job right because he or she doesn't do their job right. What do you do?
Well, I think it's interesting because I once read a book that said the conversation is the relationship. And how we miss opportunities to have conversations with people. And so I would say, for me, what comes to mind is to say, hey, you know, Jim, when you do this, this is the impact. I'm not really sure that you're aware of that. And I want to be a supportive team member and help in any way I can. And I wanted to bring this to your attention. So I think often, going back to what we said earlier about even negativity, I think often people may not be aware of the impact that they're having on other people. Mm-hmm. So if I have a conversation with my coworker and say, hey, when you're late to meetings, or, you know, when you wait up to the last minute for the deadline, I just want to let you know, like, this is the impact it has for me. So I'm wondering if we can have a conversation about that and what might shift for the future.
Yeah. You know, the Bible teaches us, if you have something against someone, go to them, mm-hmm. right? And this is, instead of talking behind their back or complaining about them, find usually a quiet place.
Yeah.
Over food always helps.
I love food.
And just say, you know, I just wanted to make you aware because this is bothering me and maybe we can work it out.
Yeah. And how many conversations actually for me to get avoided because I'm really afraid of how they're going to turn out. Mm-hmm. And so what ends up happening is I make up all this stuff in my head and I build a bigger story, you know, than is necessary. And it's all this buildup. When if I just would have had a conversation, it probably could have taken care of itself in a lot of ways. And, you know, also realizing people aren't going to react or respond in the ways that we always want them to. But our responsibility and our opportunity is to, again, to communicate and see what possibilities may open up.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the rules of thumb that has helped me a lot is when you're upset about something, it's not the time to have that conversation.
Yeah, true.
Sleep on it, maybe, unless there's some urgent need for the conversation. Think about what you're going to say. Form your words better. Don't use finger-pointing words mm-hmm. like you did or you didn't.
Yeah.
You know, those little things make a difference.
Yeah, I think that's really important, is what we say and how we say it. So if we are finger pointing and coming across like, I can't believe that you do this, la, 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 it's probably not going to go over very well. But if we're very clear about the behavior, hey, when this happens, this is the impact, and I want to have a conversation.
Yeah. Tone of voice makes a huge difference, doesn't
it? For sure. It does.
In everything we do. Well, here is a third rail question. Do you think we should jump into it?
I don't know. I think if we jump into it, you have to start first in responding.
But it's the reason I wanted to talk about this is because so many of the people I know, women mostly, who are in jobs now, have told me about the issues they're facing in what we call the woke culture, and where they're being told what pronouns to use, and where they're having to be careful that they don't come across as, I don't know, really something terrible, but at the same time hold to their principles and the Bible principles of what the Bible has to say about we are created male and female, etc.
Yeah.
So how do you think we navigate this kind of culture as people in this working world?
Well, the first thing I'll say is that no matter what is going on around us, we are called to honor and love people and respect them. Mm-hmm. So we want to be mindful of not coming across judging someone, critical of them. And then there's a way to have our beliefs, but come across in such a way that that person's made in the image of God as well.
That's right.
And so I think that's the first thing that we have to be mindful of, is how am I treating this person in front of me? What is my attitude towards them, even if I disagree, you know, with some of the things that, you know, the workplace is kind of forcing me to do. So I'd say first and foremost is, what's my attitude towards this person? And am I, regardless of the situation, being Jesus and being love?
That's so good. And, you know, if someone asks you to do something that is against your principles, like Bosses ask you to tell a lie. You're not going to tell a lie. Somebody asks you to approve of something that you don't approve of. You have to find the loving way to take your stand. But also remember this. That's not their core problem. Their core problem is they don't know Jesus, most likely, right? And until they know Jesus, they are looking at life through a different lens, and the Bible says they're blind. And until the Holy Spirit takes the blinders off, you're not going to win them to Christ by arguing over these woke things. So I just think it's hard these days to walk that middle path and stand true to your faith, but at the same time say, Jesus loves you. I want to love you. I want to know you and not condemn you.
Yeah, and the best way for people to get close to even knowing who Jesus is us being Jesus in the flesh before them. And so, you know, people are really looking for cues these days. So Christianity definitely has, I would say, a really bad rap. And I think rightfully so in some ways, because we don't really show up loving. So I think here is our opportunity. And I'll, you know, some of these things I'm challenged by as well. But I'm not going to change someone's thought pattern, behavior, and it's not actually my goal or, you know, my job to change anyone's. But we can't be angry or dismissive or judgmental or non-loving towards people and expect to have any favorable, positive influence. So, like, how can I show up in that situation knowing, okay, this person identifies in a way that I, biblically, from my biblical worldview, it doesn't align. But to your point, too, is to be reminded that, you know, people who are not followers of Jesus, they don't have a regenerated heart, and that's not making them bad or wrong. They just don't know. And so I can't hold people to the same standard, so to speak, if they aren't someone who sees the world through the lens of the biblical worldview that, that I do.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do think this is a huge challenge. More so than when I was every day in that world, I will say that. And that just means you need to be on your knees. You need to be praying every day as you go into that environment. Lord, make me a light in this dark world. Lord, guard my words today. Lord, help me to love people I may not really like that much, etc. And it should drive us to so want Christ to show through us that we pray more, you know? And we love more, and we use it as an opportunity.
And it's a supernatural love. Supernatural love empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, something that I pray sometimes is, you know, Holy Spirit, will you help me to see this person with your eyes? Jesus, help me to love with your heart, because in my flesh, I'm not so good at it. And so this is really the supernatural love that we have because we have Jesus dwelling in us and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so to your point too, prayer is huge. Jesus, please help me.
And I've told this story often, but I used to work for a man who was really difficult. And he managed through intimidation. And every day he would seem to come at me. I was the only woman on his team. And so I just had major pity parties and felt so sorry for myself and et cetera, et cetera. Until the Holy Spirit got hold and said, you know, I love him as much as I love you. Which was like, really? And then it was like, why don't you pray that you can see him the way I see him? And I prayed that prayer. And I have to tell you, it was an overnight change. I got back to work the next day. We're in a meeting. He's doing his same stick. And I'm looking at him and thinking, I feel so sorry for you. You don't know Jesus. You're insecure. I could see stuff I'd never seen before. You're insecure. Oh my goodness, you're miserable. Now I'm thinking this. I'm not saying it.
Right.
All of a sudden.
That's actually a good thing you weren't saying
that's
it.
That's pretty good, But I think it was compassion, you know, finally, when I saw him through Jesus' eyes. That's a powerful prayer.
Yeah. And you know, one thing that's coming up for me too is I remember, I think I was listening to a podcast or something like that, but they were talking about the fruit of the Spirit and that every opportunity, every person, every situation is an opportunity for us to be positioned for an upgrade in the fruit of the Spirit. So if I'm with someone who's requiring patience or kindness or whatever the case is, see it as an opportunity like, oh, I must be positioned for a massive upgrade because this person is requiring a lot of patience. So seeing it as, wow, I get to get an upgrade in the fruit of the Spirit today. Woohoo!
I love that.
Yay!
That's great. I'm going to remember that. Well, this has been so much fun, and we're looking forward to doing this regularly every month.
Yeah.
Our Walking Worthy podcast, just to help you as we need help ourselves to walk worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I just want to make one reminder before we stop today, and that is on December 18th, we have our regular monthly Zoom get together. And this time, of course, it's going to be Christmas. We sing Christmas carols, yes, on Zoom. You can do it.
I've always wanted to sing, so this is my debut.
This is your day. And we'll just have, it'll be a great way. December 18th at 10 o'clock Central Time. Go to our website to sign up at christianworkingwoman.org. Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah,
it's been good talking
to
you.